Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry now for the heavenly food, and nourish us today through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. To illustrate the importance of what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, I was a chaplain at Mayo Hospital. And one day, I stopped in to visit with a new patient. I started to introduce myself when I saw that this man was in no mood for small talk. He was in no mood for chit-chat, but he wanted to get straight to the point. He said, "Chaplain, what is the gospel?" Good question. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw on his bedside table what was a well-read, well-marked Bible. I knew that this man was not a lost soul wanting me to throw him a spiritual lifeline, but I saw that I was being examined. I was being questioned as to my credentials. And so I thought carefully. And I said, "Well, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first three verses, he defines the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, 'I pass on to you as of most importance that which I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that Christ on the third day was raised again according to the scriptures.' And that," I said, "is the gospel. It's not what we do for God, but it is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ." And the man said, "Congratulations, chaplain." He said, "I have asked that question of many people, and you are only the second person to give me the correct biblical answer." Now, I tell that story not to pat myself on the back, because that is essentially basic Bible doctrine, everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten kind of answer. But I share that story to illustrate the confusion that there is in our culture today about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to try it yourself. Take a survey. Ask people, "What is the gospel?" I've done it myself on many occasions, and I get answers like, "The gospel. Isn't that trying to live by the golden rule? Isn't that turning from your sins and following Jesus? Or the gospel, isn't that trying to live a good Christian moral life?" Now, there is a preacher on TV that leaves me with the impression that the gospel is that if I would send him some money, some seed money, that God would bless me. I find there great confusion, even in many of our churches, about what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the problem that is raised in this morning's New Testament reading, as there is confusion in the churches of Galatia as to what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it should come to us as a warning today that even churches that are planted and established by the Apostle Paul, that are founded on the apostolic doctrine, that even they can drift away from the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you notice in our reading this morning that Paul calls this an act of desertion? That was a word that was used of a soldier that takes off his uniform and puts on the uniform of the enemy. It's used of a person who defects, who is a traitor. And Paul says that is what is happening among the apostolic founded churches in Galatia. Paul begins this letter to the Galatians unlike any other of his letters, where he usually begins with a salutation and then a very polite commendation of the readers of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints and their faith in God. But Paul cuts right through that to get straight to the point. He comes out of the chute with all guns blazing, as he is hot about what is happening in the churches of Galatia. Let me say something about the background of this letter and the churches to whom he is writing. The churches in Galatia were founded by the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. In fact, Paul has made two trips to the churches of Galatia. There's a really interesting story there in Acts chapter 14, as in the province of Galatia, which is modern central Turkey down into the south. In Acts chapter 14, Paul is in the city of Lystra, the city from which the young disciple Timothy comes. And a mob from Iconium and Antioch have followed Paul to Lystra. And they stone him. And they drag his body out of the city, it says, seemingly dead. Paul gets up the next morning, brushes himself off, and goes back into the city. That's Paul's close connection with the Galatian churches, as he has established these churches, founding them on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he receives news that is heartbreaking to any missionary, heartbreaking to any pastor. He receives news that they are defecting from the gospel. It's there in our notes, in our text. It says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ." The situation is that there are false teachers that have infiltrated the churches. And they say, "Oh, we think it is wonderful that you believe in Jesus Christ. But that's not enough. You need Jesus Christ plus keeping the law. You need Jesus Christ plus circumcision and following the Jewish dietary laws and the feast." And essentially, this is legalism. They have made the gospel to be Jesus plus something else. And any time we preach Jesus plus something else, it is a defection, it is a desertion of the gospel. Now, I've been in many churches through the years, and I hear what sometimes I could only describe as a bait and switch approach. You know what I mean by bait and switch? It's where a merchant advertises a product at a low price to get you in the door. And then you are in the door and you find out that that product is no longer available, or it's not quite as good as you thought it would be, and they try to persuade you to buy a more expensive product. It's bait and switch. Oftentimes, We proclaim the free grace of Jesus Christ, and we get people in the door, and then we clobber them with the law. That we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, here are some lists of do's and don'ts that you need to follow to keep saved. Do you follow me? It is a bait and switch. I thought it was the grace of God. And now you're giving me law. The Apostle Paul, in the opening verses of our text, he tells us that the gospel is a person. That Jesus Christ died, he says, and he freed us. The gospel is not a philosophy. It's not a system of ethics. It's not a prescription. It is not a formula. The gospel is Jesus Christ, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, not what we ever do for him. So you can meet a sinner, and you can say, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the report that God is love? And Jesus Christ has joined us to himself. He has reconciled the world to himself. Jesus Christ loves you. You are forgiven. And what is there for you to do? It is for you to receive it, to believe it, and to thank God. The gospel is good news of the person of Jesus Christ. The word here that the Apostle Paul uses for gospel is that wonderful Greek word, euangelion, the evangel. And when English translators were seeking to get their arms around that word, how do they describe what this is? They came up with the word Godspell. It's the kind of good news that would make a plowboy leap in the air and jump for joy. Have you heard the report? Have you heard the good news that Jesus Christ brought us into his death and he has carried over us into the resurrection and new life? It's good news. It's a report of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Leslie Newbegin, a distinguished British theologian, missionary, while he was at Cambridge University, he came to faith in Jesus Christ through the student Christian movement. And one summer, he was a volunteer for the Christian student movement in Wales among the unemployed coal miners in a deeply depressed part of the country. And Newbegin writes of his work there as a volunteer with them. He says, I became less and less convinced that we were dealing with the real issues. Draughts and ping pong could not provide what they needed. They needed the gospel. Isn't that true? They needed the person of Jesus Christ. And Newbegin went on to say that he was finding among the churches that they had lost what he called a proper confidence in the gospel. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. And I've noticed across the years that in many churches in America, we have lost a proper confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to make it Jesus Christ and draughts and ping pong. Or we want to make it Jesus Christ and our list of do's and don'ts. Now, in this morning's text, Paul does something that causes some Bible commentators to shudder. Did you notice it? Paul curses. Well, yeah, he does. He said, if anyone add to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if anyone preach a different gospel, let that person be accursed. Anathema esto. Let that person come under God's judgment. In fact, he repeats it twice. Anathema esto. Let that person be accursed. Paul, why are you so serious here? Because we're talking about people's eternities, aren't we? He says, but even if we, hypothetically, he includes himself and angels in this, but even if we are an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. This is how crucial, this is how important it is for us to be clear as to what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news. It is the objective report of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, not what we do. And I notice that we never outgrow the need for the gospel. It's not just the gospel that gets us into the kingdom. It's not just the gospel by which we are saved, but it is the gospel by which we live. What Jesus Christ has done, that he has taken us into his death and taken us into the resurrection, taketh us into his new life. And the way for revival, the way for renewal in God's churches is that we rediscover the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it is the good news of what God has done for us in him. Now, a man who is... help me understand the meaning of God's grace and salvation is the late Henri Nouwen. And Nouwen was a rabid fan of a circus troupe in Europe that were known as the Flying Rodleys. These were the people up on the high trapeze. And for a couple of weeks, Henri Nouwen actually followed the Flying Rodleys around Europe. And he records a conversation that he has one day with Rodley, the leader of the troupe. He says, one day I was sitting with Rodley in his caravan talking about flying up on the high trapeze. And Rodley said, as a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I am the greatest star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump. How does it work, I ask? The secret, Rodley said, is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I have simply to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar. You do nothing, I said, surprised. Nothing. Rodley repeated, a flyer must fly, and a catcher must catch, and the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that we do nothing except to trust that Jesus will be there for us. The gospel is the means by which we are saved, by which we are put right with God. And the gospel is the means by which we are sanctified, by which we grow. That Jesus Christ is there for us. In a few moments, you and I together are going to preach the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul calls it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says that when you eat of the bread and you drink of the cup, you proclaim, the word is katangelo, you proclaim, you preach the good news until he comes. We eat of that bread. We entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ, that he is there for us. We drink of the cup. We entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ, a person believing the good news. And we proclaim in that eating and drinking that the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that Jesus Christ was raised for it. And we receive it. And we believe it. And we Eucharisto, we say thank you for what you've done. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.